You're watching New Sound Wave with your hosts, John DeLuna, Brian Kilby, XV, Lady Rick, Bweebum, with Rob Springer.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna. Welcome to New Sound Wave 64. This is what we call, ladies and gentlemen, a theme show.
Ooh.
It's a tribute.
Yes.
This is a tribute. This is a love letter, a massive love letter to the Nintendo 64 on New Sound Wave 64.
So you're saying this isn't the greatest podcast in the world? This is a tribute?
Absolutely. And Rob, as you can see, if you're lucky enough to see Rob in video, Rob is in his formal wear for a Nintendo discussion. So with me this week, Rob, the aforementioned Rob, with his awesome Mario hat, XV, and Brian Kilby. Guys, how are you doing? Are you excited? Are you geeked up for this?
Insane.
I wish I had a Mario hat.
It took a lot of work on Club Nintendo.
And you said that had instructions?
It has come in instructions.
What do the instructions instruct you on?
Let me actually read them.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wearing the hat wrong. maybe it's not meant for my head.
It's all
that, that much seems like it might be evident.
Yes. So as Rob looks for the instructions,
but hats don't fit me well either.
Like I said, we're going to talk all about the N64. We're going to have a couple of news bits, a real short news segment, and then we're going to get right into the Nintendo 64 stuff. Rob, I'll go through the news while you're searching for the instructions here. So real quickly, some news of the week. Tomorrow, we record New Soundwave on Wednesday nights. And Thursday of this week, so less than like 12 hours, they are going to announce the PSP 2. Amazing. So finally, yes, we're actually going to get official specs straight from Tokyo. Basically, what it's going to be is a PS3 in your hands, apparently. So they're claiming, the rumors coming out of Japan are that it's basically going to have the power of a PS3. Two analog sticks, 512 megs of RAM, quad-core processor, quad-core GPU, and OLED screen. So it's going to be a powerhouse. We'll just have
What's
to see
it going to cost, like $800?
It's going to cost, yes. It's going to be, you're going to have to take out a mortgage. And there's going to be like three games in 2011, but it's going to be really powerful.
When was the last time this model? I heard someone say this. I'm sorry, I'm stealing this. But when was the last time this model worked for Sony? Let's produce the most expensive, powerful console that we can, and see how well it sells.
That would be never.
No, it worked with the PS2.
I guess sort of.
Gangbusters.
Yeah. Was the PS2 the most powerful system by a good stretch?
When it came out, yes.
Oh. Yeah, before the GameCube and Xbox were released.
It was still more powerful. No, it wasn't. The GameCube was more powerful, but it demolished the Dreamcast, sadly.
Yeah, I know. It's really a shame.
Hey, Rob, do you have your instructions?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, tell us how to wear a hat.
All right. Now, first I'm going to show you guys a typo that Nintendo made. It says instruction manual. This is clearly not a manual. This is a slip of paper.
That would be like an instruction leaflet.
Yes. Mario TM Hat Handling and Care Instructions. About the Mario TM Hat. This item was designed to replicate the shape of Mario's hat and created specifically for Club Nintendo Platinum members. Please be aware that this item is not designed to function as a hat for practical use. Crap. Please enjoy this item as an interior accessory, a fun item while taking pictures, or to add to your collection of Mario-related items. Like those Mario-related items. Interesting. Handling and care. Cleaning and color loss. Do not machine wash or dry clean. Do not wash this damn hat, basically. If color rubs on the clothing, what the hell are you doing? Maintaining. Do not pull too hard or handle roughly as it may result in stop using if becomes damaged. I kind of Nintendo's like, we become aware that you people are retarded.
This thing sounds like a trap.
The plastic wrapping that the item is enclosed in may cause accidents. Please store. Why haven't I noticed this earlier? This is awesome.
So like, do they mean accidents like wetting the bed or?
No. It's like Nintendo had faith in all of us until all those Wii accidents came up. And they're like, you know what? Screw this. You people are stupid.
That's right. Keep on keeping on wearing that hat, buddy. Go.
It's not coming off. I'm going to work in it.
So two more things before we get into Nintendo 64 goodness. Ninja Gaiden 3, the developer has come out and promised us that this game won't be maddeningly, ridiculously hard. After, yes, the first two Ninja Gaiden games, the modern ones, have been ridiculous. Like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on the NES, ridiculous.
No, much worse.
Well, I mean,
much worse.
They're not
than that.
Broken. The games aren't broken, but they are. Like,
I was able to finish.
Like, driving nuts hard.
I was able to finish Ninja Turtles on the NES. I was not able to get anywhere halfway through Ninja Gaiden.
Oh, really?
I beat the first Ninja Gaiden, but that was it.
I did on the Nintendo, not on the Xbox.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the real one. G1 was up.
Yeah, no. Yeah, the one on the Xbox is insane. I can't come close.
Yeah, the one on the Xbox is fun. Kind of broken. Let's just be honest.
It's beautiful, but
it's unplayable.
It's very difficult.
No. Okay, so last thing before we get into Nintendo.
I love the title for this one.
Capcom Smash. Yes, Capcom. Capcom has thrown the hammer down on the internet. So let's take a step back, and I'll explain this, because this is actually kind of a cool story. If you're not Capcom. So Super Street Fighter 4 has an arcade edition, and part of the allure of the arcade edition is it has at least four extra characters in it. So the twins from Street Fighter 3, Third Strike, Yang and Yun, are characters that are just unlocked when the game came out. They were just standard characters. Also teased, so these characters weren't secret. These were characters we know were going to appear or be unlocked at some point, are Evil Ryu and Oni Akuma. Those are both characters from past Street Fighter games, more or less. The problem being, they were unlocked this weekend when they were apparently planned to be unlocked in May. What happened was, all of a sudden, all these American, this is a key thing, all these American arcades all of a sudden had these two characters on them overnight, and the internet went bonkers. There were live streams on Ustream and Justin TV of people just showing, like, just live recording and broadcasting the game. All the gaming sites talked about it, and it seemed kind of weird that these two characters showed up all of a sudden and only in America. But we found out come Sunday morning, this all happened on Saturday, but come Sunday morning, we find out the full story. Apparently the code that unlocks the characters was leaked or stolen or somehow got into the hands of American arcades. And the American arcades were able to use that code because they are not connected to Capcom's online network, the online network that would control stuff like this. So they could basically do whatever they want. And when Capcom found out, they freaked out, and in legendary fashion. So Capcom promptly started sending cease and desist letters to websites.
I have received those before.
They started pulling down links on YouTube, and they started suspending accounts on YouTube. So basically shutting people down. And for a while, it looked like they fired Street Fighter's producer, but apparently they just physically beat him because he disappeared for a few days, and he just now, like, showed up this afternoon.
Wow.
No worse for wear, apparently, on Twitter. Although on Twitter, you can't see his face, so his face may be a wreck.
Besides, if you asked him, he would just say he, like, walked into a door or fell down the stairs or something.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It was an accident.
I still love him. It's okay.
He didn't mean it.
I've never loved him more. That's right. So interesting saga from this weekend. I guess it's a lesson for video game makers out there. If you don't want characters to get, like, leaked or broken from a game, don't put them in the game.
Yeah.
Don't be unlocked characters anymore. That's probably why. So, interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. And I'll keep you updated on that saga as it goes. If you ask the question, can Capcom, like, take back these consoles, these arcade consoles? Can they lock the characters back? It looks like they can't, because these, like I said, these games are not connected to their network. These characters have been unlocked. I'm sure if there are any more characters in the console and you know, waiting to be unlocked, people are trying to hack them as we speak.
Yes.
So
does Capcom intend to keep issuing cease and desist and such from now until, you know, May? Or how is that going to proceed?
If they're like any other big company, they're probably chasing their tails, figuring out what went wrong, who to blame, and how to fix it. And they'll come to the conclusion that there's nothing they can do.
Fired the temp.
Yeah.
Pretty much. All the interns are just going to get lined up. Firing squad. So anyway, yes, tough week for Capcom. Suck it. So that brings us to the Nintendo 64 extravaganza.
Nintendo 64.
Hey guys, you want to feel old?
Yes.
I actually felt old like 2 days ago, but
the Nintendo 64 debuted in 1996, yes, which was almost 15 years ago.
Damn. Yes.
Damn.
After I graduated high school.
Yeah, I was in college. And yeah. I bought mine with a federal Pell Grant.
At least I'm not the only one who did stuff like that.
Well, Rob, remember our friend who ran Flagicon and funded that with his school loans?
Boy, do I. I'm so proud of that guy.
That was so awesome. We are going to Slagicon 2011. There's no way around it.
I have to, because it's like, you are after my heart, because I can't tell you how many Transmetal 2s I bought with student loan money.
If I have a car that has four wheels, I will make my way there.
Yes.
Absolutely. So a little bit of history on the Nintendo 64. It was Nintendo's fourth console.
The Game Boy Advance Micro. Really nice. Sorry.
It's playing Dig Dug.
Sorry.
That's awesome.
So if you haven't guessed, these are super geeks in your midst. So yes, it was the fifth console. It was released, like we said, in June of 96. And then that's in Japan, and September of 96 in North America. And then
I didn't
get
mine till around Christmas.
I think that's typical. I mean, it came out in September, so you're doing pretty good. It was the last, as we all know, the last Nintendo console to use cartridges, for good reason, as we'll probably talk about. There were two launch titles: Super Mario 64, Tremendous; Pilot Wings 64, not Tremendous.
I never even played Pilot Wings 64.
I rented it a few times, and it was okay. I was kind of digging having something else to mess with the controller with, but
I recall actually my brother got his Nintendo 64 before I did, and it was given to him by a stripper.
Nice.
That almost beats the student loan thing.
It does beat the student loan.
It kind of does. Like, it's the kind of stripper you marry.
And it's like he didn't have any games for it until like we got him Shadows of the Empire.
Oh, okay.
He was like, my girlfriend got it for me. Is she a stripper? Yes. And it's just like, what's her name? Cinnamon? But then again, you're like, well, let's quit laughing. And you're like, holy crap, his girlfriend bought a Nintendo. That's awesome.
Yeah. And her name is Cinnamon. Triple awesome. Okay, so if you're being picky, yes, in Japan they had a third launch game, but it was like a Japanese board game. Does not count. So its lifespan, it sold 33 million units. Not bad.
Worldwide, okay. 33 million.
Worldwide,
that kind of sucks.
Yeah, well, and here, let's put the games in perspective. So a total of 387 games were released, which sounds like a lot, except
it's not. It's really not. 100
games were released for the PlayStation, and for both the NES and the SNES, they had over 700, 768, 725, respectively. So less than 400 games in your life, not so good. Not so good.
And two of them were the same Castlevania game. So, yeah. I mean,
it's a lot when you say, like, hey, CDI, but it doesn't like that.
One of the things about the N64, it was extremely diverse. So there were at least eight variants on the console in colors and sizes.
Yes.
Including a dimensional Pikachu.
That's I remember seeing that, actually.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You probably have that.
I think I don't. I think the most widespread one, though, was the clear purple. I think that was around for the longest of the variant colors.
There was a green as well that, I mean, is pretty common.
Because I saw a lot of those. Lot of those.
Yeah.
I think I saw some of those around the same time Walmart had the $20 virtual boys.
Ooh, nice. What a great time to be alive. Yeah, what a great time. Oh, and also they had their share of limited edition controllers, which actually brings us to the controller itself, which you could talk about for hours on end just by itself because it was so different and polarizing.
Yeah, it was lacking a couple of face buttons.
When it came out, I don't think people knew what to make of it, the controller. They didn't know if this was like a terrible idea or if this was the future.
It's like, do you hold it right-handed or left-handed? I mean,
well, it's this giant thing that has two buttons. What do I do with this?
And that third, everybody's favorite, the third handle in the middle.
Yeah, I think it might have been better received if it had two more face buttons instead of, you know.
Yeah, instead of that C button nightmare, that was just a couple of buttons.
Yeah.
It's like, which C1, C2? Oh, damn it, why isn't this just X?
Or, you know, Nintendo, it was always X, Y, B, and A.
Yeah.
And, you know, they didn't go that direction. Of course, they did add the Z button, which the Z button was the handiest button on the thing. But
what was funny is if you got, like,
the backflip button.
You got, like, a racing game, and you're like, why didn't they automatically map the gas to the Z button? Why do I have to do this for every game? It makes so much sense. Like, no developer thought and said, huh, that's a good idea. Not one.
But what racing game was on the system that was worth playing besides F-Zero?
Wave Race.
Well, yeah. That's a racing game, yeah. I'll give that to you. That game was amazing when it came.
Yes.
It's still fun. It's still fun. And of course,
yeah,
Mario
Kart. It's not
Mario
as amazing as it was, but at the time, that was like pure adrenaline and
Mario
cartridge.
Kart 64 was also on the system.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
but you know, the game is still hampered though by the fact that it was a console that had Cruisin' USA on it, and
well,
yeah,
it was a different time back then. You could probably still find Cruisin' USA in some bowling alleys.
Dude,
these days.
The gas station at the end of my road has a disused barber shop beside of it, and in that barber shop there's a Cruisin' USA cabinet. I thought about breaking into it and stealing it, just so that I could burn it. But I haven't.
Cruisin' awesome. USA hat.
I was going to say, I could see like the surveillance camera, you know, that like, really fuzzy black and white camera, and then all of a sudden this truck backs in and knocks the wall down.
Somebody takes a flamethrower to it.
True story, guys. A Walmart that's no longer open had an Altered Beast cabinet in its front little lobby area. And I would play it and get aggravated, so I hit it with my knee. And apparently somebody put a car alarm on it because I hit it with my knee one time and it went off and I took off running out of Walmart. Like, oh my God, what the hell's going on?
Wait, Rob, there's a Walmart that closed?
Well, a bigger one opened like a block down the road.
So, I skipped chemistry 1 year. No. Several times. I skipped chemistry one day, honestly, to go play Cruisin' USA because someone told me that in the commons they had Daytona USA. I'm like, yes, I love Daytona USA. And, of course, it was Cruisin' USA, and I was disappointed. I played Miss Pac-Man instead and some more combat, too.
I can't tell you how many classes were skipped in order of death matching in the cafeteria or library at my college. It's like, hey, school, issue laptops. Where's that the dorks at? They're not in class anymore. Score!
Well, you mentioned death matching. That was probably the biggest innovation of the N64 was the four player built in. I mean, that, you know, other consoles have borrowed that since then, but that was the first one that really did it and did it well because no one else after that really gave a rat's behind that you could do four player four way on it because it wasn't that great, but you know, you beggar Nintendo, you had a Nintendo 64. I mean, you weren't expecting great.
Well, let's face it, somewhere there's still a basement with a bunch of dudes playing GoldenEye Deathmatch.
Yeah,
there's no question.
That's true. That's true.
And I'm not talking about the new one either. I'm talking about they have been playing this for like 15 years, and they're still like, these are like the most unbeatable guys ever.
Yeah.
except for the frame data
in like every inch of that game. Absolutely. The hardest of the core. Hey, real quick, this is an interesting little bit of trivia. I actually remember this. as far as like the build up to the N64. So before the N64, it was the N64. Do you guys remember when it was called Project Reality?
Project Reality, yes, and it was Ultra 64. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So that was fun. Nobody knew exactly what to call it or, you know, what it was going to be about. Then when it became the Nintendo 64, we also found out, of course, without question, that it was going to be a cartridge-based system. And that didn't quite work out, buddy. Didn't quite work out. because if everybody listening out there, if you weren't around for the N64, its contemporary basically was PlayStation. And that was the future, as Nintendo kind of found out. But so back in the day, do you guys remember
the Sega Saturn? The Saturn was out.
The Sega Saturn. Yes. I'm a bad Sega fanboy. I should have mentioned them. But yes. So when I remember this, like in magazines, there was kind of a healthy debate then, and kind of like a sense of this is a bad idea to do carts at this point. But Nintendo did it. They stuck by it, and I remember that one of their big selling points, one of the big ways that they rationalized carts was load time.
Oh, yeah.
One of the big things, like no load time. It's a cart. That's why it's better.
Yeah.
I remember in Nintendo Power, they had like a picture of a turtle and a picture of a space shuttle. It being like, this is the difference, guys. And you're like, and in hindsight, you're like, you know, those things don't really fly fast.
They don't fly very well either.
And also thought, Quake for Nintendo 64 had to load.
Actually, I may be wrong, but I remember Star Wars Rogue Squadron having some delay between mission selection and actually playing.
Yeah.
It wasn't Nintendo 64, but Street Fighter Alpha 2 on the SNES had load between rounds.
Captain America and the Avengers on Super Nintendo had to load.
Why would you play on Super Nintendo? It was better on the Genesis.
Because I had the Super Nintendo.
Was it even out on the Super Nintendo?
Yeah, it was out.
I don't remember it. Sorry.
No, I definitely got it wrong with that.
It'd start the level and it'd go black and you hear, Avengers! And then like a second later it would start.
God, what a great game. Not really. Nice.
okay, so let's talk games real quick. And money. Lots of money. So, speaking of carts are not cheap.
WCW versus the world.
They're about $15 at the record store now. So while most PlayStation games rarely went over $50 back then, the N64 games could reach $80.
Yeah, I remember that pretty well.
One of them, Zelda. So the first release of Zelda, God. $80, buddy. $80.
Zelda is one of the rare games. Ocarina of Time is one of the rare games that I pre-ordered, and it's one of the. It's honestly the last game that wasn't a fighting game or a racing game or Halo that I actually finished. That was 1990 frickin' eight. and not a Castlevania game. I do play through the Castlevania games on the DS and the Game Boy Advance, but Zelda just sucked it out of me. I did it for like 4 days, 4.5 days, and I've never been able to finish a Zelda game since. But I am looking forward to it on the 3DS, like really, really bad.
Yeah, the 3DS has a lot of, dare I say, N64 qualities in a good way.
Yeah.
Which,
so, you know.
The DS originally, that was like, hey, it's like the N64 portable. And now it's like, hey, it's the N64 portable in 3D. Oh.
Yeah.
There's a plateau.
But yeah, games were expensive. I didn't have that many games on the system.
Neither did I. I remember, I think the most expensive one I got was like $68, and even that was really difficult to manage.
I actually only had GoldenEye. I had Super Mario 64, of course. I got a cheap copy of Ridge Racer 64, Blast Corps 64.
Oh, I remember that one too.
And God, I think I had WCW versus NWO or something on it. But those, you know, like, those games were good. They were really good.
Yeah, they were fun.
You know,
they were fun. I'm undecided on getting the latest WWE game, but it's got Macho Man in it, so
yep,
I'm
gonna have to
give it a shot.
So Brian, did you have like Superman 64?
No.
Even you as know, an oddie. It's probably not worth having.
No. One of the cool things about
So that brings us to go ahead, Rob, and then we'll start talking about the best games for N64.
Well, I'll say one of the cool things about the N64 is that when the game went to clearance for like $9, it was usually when you discovered a gem you never would have noticed before because of the pricing of the games. It's like I got Body Harvest for like $9 at Toys R Us. I was like, well, this can't be too bad. And it's like it was really weird. It was Rockstar's like first open map type game. You know, stuff like that, like, you never, they're like, this will never catch on, you know. Nice. Like, no one wanted to play it then, and there, you kind of think about it. Hey, Rockstar made that game that was like an open sandbox that no one wanted to play. I guess when you throw prostitutes in, it changes. I don't know.
There are always games you never really, there are games you never really expected to see on the system, like Triplett and I were talking, Chris Triplett from Fanboy Versus and I were talking about Resident Evil 2.
Why doesn't he ever come on the show anymore?
I don't know. Hey, this is like the show for him, too, since he does nothing but play video games.
So. I know.
Yeah, he's missing out tonight.
That's true. This is his show because he loves the N64 more than I do.
So Resident Evil and the N64, I mean, that's just something that you would have never expected.
Yeah,
is that what
because it includes all the full motion video and stuff. They squeezed it all onto a cartridge. It's weird.
Yeah. And it is weird. Yeah, that's one of the last, I guess, games, and they expanded some of the memory, so the capacity of that cart was a little bit bigger. But of course,
they added RAM to the system for Turok 64 or Turok 2. Turok 2.
Yes. Nice. Awesome stuff. Okay, so what were some of the best games? I mean, obviously Mario and Mario GoldenEye Zelda.
Yeah, Mario is. Mario and Zelda are probably the definition of game changer in video games. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, GoldenEye was a decent for 1996, 97, 98, but now it just doesn't hold up at all.
Yeah.
It's been so far past in quality. I tried to play, I guess, the superior Perfect Dark a couple of years ago, and I'm sorry, those games are old. Certain games are timeless.
Yeah, they show 1990 really quickly.
Yeah. A shooter 1990 shooters on consoles, they age. you can go back and play Quake 1 and it's still fun, or Quake 2 and it's still amazing. No, not so much anything on the N64 that's a shooter. Sorry.
Now, what about Star Fox? Chat brings up Star Fox.
Star Fox is a good game. I like Star Fox, but the big thing about Star Fox is it introduced the Rumble Pack, and the game never really held that much mustard with me. I like it, but it wasn't as revolutionary as say Star Fox on the SNES.
Yeah, I mean, I played Star Fox 64 for a while, but there was no real interest to keep with it.
Yeah, I mean it's not one of those games. It's like wow, like what Shadows of the Empire or whatever. That's like,
yeah.
It's like at the time it's amazing. Now it kind of looks like crap, but you know.
Everything looks like well, that. It's a Star Wars game for you. It's great at the time, but
all the Super NES games are still pretty sweet.
Yeah, but you know, Super NES games are kind of timeless.
They are timeless.
They have that technology and that look that's more timeless.
Yeah.
Since the N64 was kind of on the crossroads of 3D and 2D and all that stuff.
As much as I love... Go ahead, XV.
I think we're more quickly critical of 3D because of how quickly it advanced over the last decade or so.
Yeah, you're pushing, like, the PS1 pushed, I think, 150,000 polygons per second. Because that was a metric that actually mattered back then. The Super NES, actually, while a technically more powerful system, I think had a lower polygon per second count. I think it was like 100,000. But it introduced all the shaders and stuff and the texture mapping and things that the really poor Z-buffering and stuff that the PS1 couldn't do. But the games, I love Super Mario 64. It's one of the greatest games of all time, but I can't play it on the N64. I have to play it on the Wii in emulation. The Wii, if you want to go back and play the N64, don't. get a Wii and play the games on the virtual console. You will thank yourself.
Actually, I'm more fan of yes, where they improve the swirl. Hey, sometimes passes, it might look crap now.
What can you repeat that, Rob? You're breaking up.
Yeah, your pitchy dog.
His dongle kind of, you know,
My dongle.
His dongle what?
His dongle's broken.
Yeah, dongle is what?
It's me. Probably one better way to play Mario 64 now is yes, for Dreamcast, when I can improve the visual, just because they're like, hey, before we put this back out, you want to make sure it doesn't look like crap now that it's for a few years.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a good point, too.
Yeah.
Control. I say blindly, not really sure what Rob just said.
Just agree with him. So,
there's some varying opinions on Majora's Mask. Some people think that it's better than Ocarina of Time. What are you?
I don't think so. Well, I don't know. I would hate to think nostalgia paints my impressions of stuff. Clearly it does. But I don't know. I think
we have
I enjoy
a Transformers podcast. Of course it does.
Yeah. I mean, the room I'm in is full of toys. And I'm 30.
Well, we can't really see them, but we'll take your word for it.
Man, you're going to have to take my word for it, I guess. Here, let me see. Let me tilt up. Let me see.
Nice.
Is that going to work? Let's see. We'll see. Okay, so Ocarina of Time, I just has like a, I guess, a bigger place in my heart. I don't know.
Ocarina of Time, worth it. Where's Matt? So a lot. I feel like it's not as good. It's definitely.
He's being Comcast.
He is. He's beatboxing.
Comcastic.
Yes,
that's right. That is not
hey,
fire.
Rob, try disconnecting and rejoin the call. We'll hold down the fort while you do that.
Yeah.
Okay,
get the hell off the air. That's what we're saying.
But yeah, while we're waiting for Rob to straighten his dongle back out, you were talking about Super Mario 64, which. You know, that it has staying power, and really for me, every 3D Mario game since then, I've been looking for another Mario 64, and it's just not there.
Oh God, Mario Sunshine was such a letdown.
And for me, so was Mario Galaxy. I know a lot of people like it, but
Mario Galaxy is not. It's the spiritual successor to Mario 64, but it is not the same level of. It's not as big a leap as Mario 64 was, and you know Mario 64 may not be the best Mario game, but it may be the best 3D game.
It's the Mario game I enjoy playing the most, if you don't count Mario Kart 64.
Yeah, definitely. I think Mario 64 is definitely one of those games when people played it, they said, "Wow!" Because it was nothing. It was like nothing they had ever seen before. We couldn't even like describe it. We couldn't even describe the gameplay. They had to play it. They had to like really sit down and actually understand what I'm talking about. Like this game is like actually 3D.
Hey, Rob, you back?
I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Awesome. It sounds okay. He sounds like he's on a Gordon Gekko phone.
Excellent. You guys hear me now?
You sound fine.
Yeah, I know. It's like Rob from the back.
Wait, was that your N-Gage, Rob?
No, that's my Game Boy Advance.
Oh, okay.
Did you buy it new or did you get it on clearance?
New.
I saw it clearance for like $40, and I regret not buying it.
I'm still kicking myself because I didn't get the Famicom 25th Anniversary Edition.
Oh.
Because me and this thing was inseparable for a while because it was just the right size to put in a cargo pant.
What was on the Famicom? I know there's a Famicom version of the SP. What was the Famicom version of that?
It looked like a Famicom controller. It was red. It had a gold faceplate that had the lines and everything to look like a Famicom controller. About the only addition they had was a little pixelated Mario with 25 or whatever on the faceplate. Thing is, it costed more and didn't come with as many faceplates, so I thought it was kind of a jip, but hindsight, I should have got it.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Some of those European versions are really nice because they got like all these crazy colors that didn't come out here that look really nice. Like green and stuff and purple. Hmm. It's a cool console that didn't have
Game Boy. When we do a show on Game Boys, you're going to...
Yeah.
You are going to rock that show. You're going to own the
conversation. I did a college report on Game Boy, okay?
Really?
I'm not lying. I had to do a double marketing plans and I used the Game Boy because how it was introduced as an adult plaything and a kid's plaything in different times.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did.
Fascinating.
Nerd alert.
Coming to you in 2011, the Game Boy podcast with Rob, featuring Rob. Starring Bob.
Oh, dude, when the 3DS comes out, we're totally doing that.
Oh, but, yeah, there you go, right there. So in March, coming to you in March, I think.
It's like when Rob gets his 3DS, it's like, Rob's not on the show. What's he doing right now? By iceberg, I've been playing this all night.
We need to find a way to fake 3D on our podcast or just have a picture of Rob, like, leaping out at you.
Awesome. Whoa! Whoa!
Yeah, we were actually talking about that the other day, what the show would be like in 3D. Rob would be poking at us.
John, you gotta whip up some anaglyph artwork.
Okay, yeah, nice.
In all hindsight, that's probably going to be the 3DS's biggest challenge, is advertising effectively.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's in 3D, trust me.
Yeah. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. It's going to be all about the in-store display.
Like, they're going to show a girlfriend it because she's like, no way, yeah, show me. I can't. Why? Because it only works when you look. And I was like, damn, it's going to really suck for them, because on their site, they're like, whoa. And that's it.
Awesome.
I demand you do that on the Game Boy podcast, on the 3DS podcast. I demand you, like, fall out of your seat at least three times because you just can't handle the 3D. It's too much 3D.
Awesome. Okay.
Nice. Okay. Well, guys, I think that wraps it up for our Nintendo 64 discussion. An awesome system.
We love our Nintendo 64.
Oh, again, I just want to mention the memory expansion. It was the best and worst, stupidest thing I ever had to do. So you think it's new that Sony is doing the Move and all this stuff, and Xbox is doing Kinect. No, the N64 was the first truly extensible Nintendo console. Now Sega Genesis was extensible, but
before we wrap up, though, you were going to tell us what you had to do to get your Nintendo 64.
Who?
Or no, what you did already? You
I told did. Me,
yeah. It's a cheer wine. It's going to my head.
Yes,
it's right. Yeah, it's fermented cheer wine. It's not.
I'm cheer wine drunk over here, so just don't mind me.
Bear with us. Bear with us. Okay, so yes, like I said, N64, awesome. A cult classic, to be sure. So I think that's going to wrap it up for New Soundwave 64. For our panel of experts, XV, Rob Springer, and Brian Kilby, I am your ever eager host, John DeLuna. Every week, we strive to bring you the best in video game news and discussion, and we will see you next week for New Soundwave 65.
Wow.
Retired.